We're speaking with Vince Wilburn, the drummer for the Miles Davis Electric Band. So, Vince, tell us how Florida was lucky enough to get these three shows this weekend.
I played Florida once in the 80s with Uncle Miles, but...
I was there.
We have an agent. Okay.
Ruth Eckert Hall in 86, I think.
Right.
Yes.
Right. We have an agent, Michael Morris, with Paradigm Agency, and the gigs came up through Michael. And unfortunately, we can't do Fort Lauderdale, but the other two are on the books, and we can't wait to play.
Okay. So I'll make sure I edit that out of the article we're doing for Music Fest News as well. I'll make sure we take care of that. So this band has been in its genesis for 4 or 5 years, I take it?
Since 2000. 10 was
okay.
The first one.
Right. And how long has this group of 10 musicians been together?
Well, it has interchangeable.
I'm sure it has. You know? It has to.
Yeah, because some guys are on tour with other artists on their own too. So
absolutely.
Daryl Jones is out with the Rolling Stones, and Dwayne Mono Neon plays bass. If, Manyongo, the percussionist, is out with Stevie Wonder, then we have someone to replace Manyongo. But this core of the 9-10 guys, we've been working for a while. And the trumpet chair floats.
Well, that was going to ask about that, because that was the one name that was missing when I kept looking at the list.
Yeah, on this Florida run, it'll be Etienne Charles.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. But we were in Japan with Christian Scott. We were in Honolulu with Keon Harold, who played on the Miles Ahead soundtrack. We've had Sean Jones. We've had Wallace Roney. We've had Nicholas Payton. You know, to name a few.
That's steep company.
The best in the business.
100%. And it would appear from the list I see that at least 7 of you played with Miles or recorded with Miles. And I guess the only three don't look like that would be Blackbird, Antoine Roney, and DJ Logic.
Actually, Blackbird did play with Miles.
Oh, he
Miles.
Did. Okay.
DJ Logic did not.
Yeah.
And Antoine did not.
Yep.
Antoine was, his brother played, played with Miles on the Montreux box set.
Correct.
Quincy Jones, yeah.
Correct. Well, this is extremely exciting. So what range of material are you attempting to honor with this project? A little of everything?
Yeah, the electric period.
Well,
we're
sure.
Attempt.
Yeah.
Attempt. We're going to share with the Florida audiences the electric period, from Bitches Brew to John Pierre, to We Want Miles.
Yes.
Yeah. And all and in between, and it's our interpretation of the music. It's not
well, of course.
We're not Tony Herbie, Ron, Jack DeJohnette, Wayne. It's just the way we interpret the music of that period.
So it was exciting, especially to see both Robert Irving III and John Beasley on this project on keyboards.
Well, let's go over the personnel.
Yep.
First of all, okay. Because what do you have? You want
to
name
I had the, I had what was on the website, but obviously, as we talked about, it's interchanging parts. It has to be.
That's right. So on bass will be Dwayne Mono Neon Thomas Jr.
Okay.
On keyboards, Robert Irving III.
Perfect.
On trumpet, Etienne Charles.
That's just a great choice.
On tabla, Debashish Chattaroy. On guitar, David Gilmore. Drums, Vince Wilburn Jr. Percussion, Manyongo Jackson. Bass, clarinet, tenor, and soprano, Antoine Roney. I think that covers everybody.
Bass, clarinet. That'll be lovely.
Yeah?
Yep. Well, we're certainly looking forward to it.
How many guys is that? Eight or nine.
I think that was 8 or 9, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then I guess you're doing Australia in the spring?
We just did the Byron Bay Festival.
Okay.
Return from the Byron Bay. Yeah.
Okay.
It was awesome.
Yeah. Yep.
And we just, let me see, we're just coming from Toronto. We did Calgary. And we did Columbus, Ohio, which was great. Columbus Jazz Fest.
I was excited seeing about Battle Roy because the next week, John McLaughlin and Jimmy Herring are in town, and I was playing a John McLaughlin tune from My Goals Beyond, and there's Battle Roy on tabla. So I thought that's
yeah, Battle Roy is an interchangeable. He's one of the core members, but he's not going to be on the floor to run this time.
Yeah.
But so that's where the replacement Debashish Chattaroy,
yes,
who's a disciple of Badal.
Yeah. Well, you have just, it's amazing and wonderful that there are such interchangeable parts and that it works so well.
Oh, yeah, and it fits. You know?
And of course,
and guys,
yes.
You know, they get the music, and that's the important thing, you know, and we gel, you know.
And it keeps the music fresh as well. It keeps it fresh for you.
Yeah. I mean, you, not to cut you off, but you take a guy like Dwayne Mono Neon Thomas. He wasn't even born. He was Prince's last bass player, by the way. But when this music was out, I don't think he might have, he was probably like, I don't even think he was born then.
Yeah.
He's the baby of the group.
Yes, indeed.
And Etienne is a professor at the University of Michigan, Michigan State University.
Right.
So, and he's from Trinidad. He adds another kind of thing to it. Everybody's, you know, this is gumbo. This is a jazz fusion gumbo.
Yes, it is. Tell us a little bit about the Miles Davis Properties group that you help manage with Aaron and Sharon.
Miles Davis Properties is consisted of Aaron Davis, my cousin, Cheryl Davis, Miles' daughter, my cousin, and Mr. Daryl Porter, who's sitting here with a stopwatch, our general manager. No, I'm just kidding. And what is it, Daryl? It's all Miles likeness. Music.
It's Miles Davis Properties LLC is the holding company that controls all of the intellectual property for Miles, plus his artifacts and artwork, including name and likeness rights, and anything else having to do with the licensing of Miles Davis.
Absolutely.
That's Daryl.
Yes. Well, that's. That makes perfect sense, and I'm glad someone's taking care of that. It's so important.
Oh yeah, Daryl is family to us.
Yes,
and we grew up together, by the way, in Chicago.
When you look at fusion music and how it's progressed and expanded into so many different areas, and I'm thinking especially because I go see a lot of jam bands, but they depend entirely on everything that came out of In a Silent Way and then Bitches Brew and beyond. That was the wellspring from which everything else developed.
Mm-hmm. Is that a question or a statement?
No, just a statement. And
definitely. Yeah. I look at guys, you know, the groups like Snarky Puppy who opened up for us in Australia.
I mean, I can't even imagine that. My head just exploded.
Well, I just did a gig in Chicago this past weekend, and Bobby Sparks from Snarky Puppy was playing with Daryl Jones and I.
Wow.
It was another project that we were doing.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the thing about the kids nowadays, they study the music, you know, before us and what we're trying to explore. And they grasp it, and then they put their spin on it, which is great, you know, like Thundercat and Kamasi Washington.
Absolutely.
Guys like the Kamasi used to play in my band here in Chicago, I mean, here in L.A., a local band.
Yes.
Well, so, I mean, it's in good hands.
Absolutely. It is in wonderful hands.
Christian Scott's another trumpeter that plays with us. His band is amazing.
It's so nice to see that music pop up in so many places. There's an outstanding band from Florida that does a lot of Allman Brothers type stuff. They also play originals. And I was thinking about the personnel in the band. They said, I wish they'd do a jazz song. And within 15 seconds in that show that I saw, suddenly they busted out 15 minutes worth of Hang Up Your Hang-Ups. I saw Umphrey's McGee a couple of years ago at the Wanee Festival. They're having a great show, and all of a sudden, I'm getting excited. I'm looking around, and nobody else is figuring out that they're playing It's About That Time. Just amazing stuff.
It's universal.
It is absolutely universal.
Yeah, man. I mean, I'm tight with Dwayne Betts, that Sticky Betts son. I'm trying to get him to come on a roll with us. That'd be kind of cool.
That would be cool.
Yeah. But no, man, everybody loves Miles, Still.
Yes, we love Miles. Indeed. Mm-hmm. And so I was particularly excited when... and now I've lost the name of the album, but the first one that came out digitally, I guess in 81, and why the name is
well, there was me. It was Miles. It was the Man with the Horn.
Man with the Horn. That's the one I'm thinking of. That I now, just
that
stood me on my ear. I mean, I'd been listening for a long time, but that was remarkable with Backseat Betty and all everything.
Yeah, I played on that record too.
Some magic music.
Yeah, and that was the core band when Uncle Miles decided to come back from retirement.
Exactly.
79, 80, we recorded that in New York.
And there was a note about a song that from 79 that led Miles to want to get back into it somewhere on your page, and I'm trying to remember what that was now.
Well, people say that I was the pivotal guy to get him to play again, but I don't want to take that credit. When he was ready to play, he played.
Absolutely.
Well, I would encourage him any way I could, the time that I spent with him around that time. But, he was his own man. So when he was ready, came back on the scene. Well, he never left the scene. He just took a breather.
Exactly. Any comments about the movie, the recent movie of which you were an executive producer?
I thought that Don Cheadle was amazing in the movie.
Astounding.
I'm glad we won a Grammy from the movie. Both Daryl and I were executive producers, along with Aaron and Cheryl. And I commend Don.
I thought it was a remarkable, remarkable movie.
Yeah. I wanted an Oscar, but we'll take the Grammy.
Indeed.
Well, humbly Grammy.
Yes. Well, thank you so much. Is there anything else you'd like to talk about the Florida tour? We're certainly looking forward to seeing you here on Friday.
I just want to say that we're happy to be playing in Florida, and we can't wait to come down and share this music with you and all the fans, all the music lovers in Florida. And hey, stick around afterwards because we'll probably do a meet and greet, and we'd love to see the music lovers who love this music. We always do meet and greets in all of our cities, so. We'd love to hang out, meet you face to face. But sometimes when you're on stage and you do the shows and then you go back to your hotel, you don't get a chance to mingle with the audiences, and we'd love to do that.
And this is a great small theater that's been revamped, so I think it's going to do your music justice.
Well, we can't wait.
Vince Wilburn, thank you very, very much, and we look forward to seeing you on Friday.
Thank you for your time. You'll be there, right?
Absolutely.
What size T-shirt are you wearing?
Extra large.
You got it. I'll bring you a couple.
Thank you so much.
Okay, man. Thanks for your time.
See you Friday.
Bye.